Hey, this is Floor Radio, and I'm Dave Foster. My guest this morning operates, among other things, the largest online floor covering operation in the industry. His name is Steve Simons, and he's president and CEO of Smooth Corporation. That's the parent of iFloor. And how are you doing, Steve? How are you this morning?
Morning, Dave. Doing well. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you on. It was almost almost a year and a little bit over a year and a half since I've had you on here last, so it's good to finally get you on here.
Well, it's good to be back. I certainly listen regularly, so it's fun to participate today.
Excellent, excellent. Talk a little bit, if you would, about the Smooth Corporation and also a bit about iFloor.
Well, Smooth Corporation has just been our parent company where we operated a number of individual business units, including iFloor.com. But as it's evolved over time, iFloor has been and continues to be our prominent brand name, the crown jewel, if you will. Mm-hmm. And going forward, I think you'll find that most of our operations will roll up under the iFloor.com name or iFloor as a brand.
I see. What are some of the other properties under the Smooth Corp umbrella?
Well, of course, going back in history, everything from cornerhardware.com, True Flooring. Recently, we rolled up rugarea.com, DIYflooring.com, floorshop.com. All of those have been rolled up under the iFloor name. And, some other, import-export operations as well. But as I say, the focus now, especially with the roll-up of the other brands, is all about iFloor and how to advance the brand nationwide.
I've got you. Now, you've been doing this since, what, the late 90s, if I recall correctly?
That is correct, yes.
Now, it's a whole different world out there in terms of the Internet than it was when you started. Talk about how the Internet has just changed the world as we know it, the retail world as we know it. Over these last 7, 8, 9, 10 years?
Well, the flooring specifically, it certainly has been a dramatic evolution from what it was in 1998 when we first transacted business going forward to, here in 2007. But, in general, the Internet has become a great source of information and more accessible through lots of different ways. Everybody has heard about the new iPhone. We're pretty sure they stole the name from us, but Apple's iPhone has, you've got full Internet access there, and that's just one of any number of examples of new ways to access information. And as consumers access that information, they become more educated and at least have better questions when they finally go through their buying process for whatever the product is, and it expands and includes flooring in that context.
I guess the more tools people have to access the Internet, the more all of retailers on the Internet are going to do business, I suppose, huh?
Well, again, there's the consumers fundamentally retain the power in any transaction. They decide who, when, and what to buy. And by, our philosophy has always been give them education, give them information in an objective, unbiased way, and let them make the choice and hope that you do the right things to earn the business.
Uh-huh. Now, how is Internet sales, how are Internet sales shaking out in the floor covering business in terms of direct sales made online? Are the percentages increasing every year?
Yeah, I would imagine that, certainly our business continues to advance and in general is a pretty fast growth business. We've been on the Inc. 500 3 years in a row and had several other points of recognition for our continued growth. And I think in general the category of flooring mirrors what's happening industry-wide in e-commerce, which is kind of steady continued growth, and as people get more accustomed to buying things online, the leap to say, oh, maybe I want to buy my floors online or investigate them online, is a lower and lower bar for them to jump over.
I see. How do manufacturers in general, and I'm not talking about just floor covering manufacturers, but just manufacturers across the board, how do they view the Internet? I mean, I know they're spending lots and lots of money to gain exposure on it, to inform people, even to make sales, I suppose. I guess the other side of the proposition is discounting, and I suppose manufacturers, as a rule, sometimes don't seem to be entirely pleased with that. What's the what's the entire story there, would you say, in terms of the manufacturer?
Well, you know, it's hard to say the entire story, but certainly it's fair to characterize manufacturers kind of caught in a rock and a hard place. The Internet, again, across many categories, delivers tremendous volumes. I mean, just imagine how many books Amazon.com buys, or, you know, how many lawnmowers does Walmart.com ship. There's just some staggering figures that e-commerce contributes. By the same token, that doesn't mean that the retailers who carry the same items, who may be in a defensive position from an informational or a price standpoint, that they don't cause a little bit of noise in the background. So manufacturers have to balance, you know, how do they justify, you know, selling to these people online that may be delivering high volumes but cause a little bit of noise when it comes to discounting or whatnot.
I see. Is that what's happening in the floor covering business, or has happened? A lot of noise out there among brick and mortar retailers?
Oh, sure. I think there's a series of you know, arguments that go back to, you know, when we first started in business back in the, you know, 98s, when we ran our first transaction. And I'm sure it wasn't that long after that people said, you know, hey, you know, why are you selling to that guy? He's just a guy operating out of his basement with a computer. He has no overhead. And over time, that argument, you know, morphed its way into, you know, oh, he's just a guy operating out of a, you know, building. He has no overhead. And so the premise that the Internet companies have no overhead is faulty on its own. But I think that retailers have always said, you know, you shouldn't sell to an e-commerce company. They don't have a showroom. They don't have a legitimate overhead, is what they call it.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's not really the case, and we're going to talk about that in a little while here on this conversation, the fact that you're opening stores up all over the country of, what, I think, 30 at this point?
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of the numbers. We're somewhere around 30 at this moment, yes.
Well, I know it's hard for me. I didn't think it was going to be that hard for you. You know, the argument that you just said about how independents were not pleased about online retailers, it wasn't so many years ago they were saying exactly the same thing about the big box players, it seems to me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the most recent example, and by the way, as a you know, independent retailer, I said the same thing. You know, gosh, Home Depot, don't sell to those guys. You know, I want the business. And before that, it was the brokers in Dalton, you know, or the pro sources of the world. You know, I think instinctively, again, as a retailer, you know, we don't want anybody else selling the stuff. We want, it's our territory, and we want it all. And that's okay, but manufacturers have to balance the realities of how do they expand their market, how do they reach different channels. And the big boxes have proved to be an alternative channel.
Uh-huh.
E-commerce is proving the same thing. And most guys today know to be as close as you possibly can to a big box store. You know, 15 years ago, people were panicked and figured everyone was going to go out of business when Lowe's and Home Depot showed up to town. And now you try to get your store as close as you possibly can to them.
Right. And I should also hasten to mention here that you've been in the floor covering business way before you became an online retailer. You were a bricks and mortar retailer.
Sure, yeah. I was definitely a traditional full-service, full-line retailer for many years before the e-commerce business.
Right. What do you see changing in terms of sales? I mean, is the percentage of floor covering sales that are made over the Internet and online, that, from what you said earlier, I have to imagine is growing every year across the board. Is there any way to know really what that number is?
Well, you know, it's hard to put a real big number on it, but I think that it's still just a drop in the total market. The level of influence that the Internet has is incredibly large. The number of people who are shopping for floor covering and find their way online, particularly to iFloor.com. We have numbers that demonstrate that the people who go to Google and do a search for flooring, and we track somewhere around 80,000 to 90,000 flooring terms on Google. we are exposed to 76% of those shoppers. So the realm of influence is incredible, and the sales are still substantial, but as a whole on a, you know, $50-60 billion industry, it's still a small drop in the bucket.
So what are we talking? Certainly under 5%, what, 3-4%, something like that?
You know, it's again, I'm not sure anybody has reliable numbers, but it would certainly be in the single digits and probably at the lower side of that today. And you know, it's fine when you go from 2-4%. That's still a pretty nice business.
Oh, exactly. And I suspect you were talking about the iPhone earlier, and I see reports just about every week how online is growing across the board. More and more people coming online, more and more people have high-speed access. That has to mean more and more people are buying floor coverings every year.
Well, it certainly stands to reason. You know, we track the amount of queries or searches that are done on search engines, you know, monthly, yearly, and that number continues to increase. So, you know, it's a pretty logical conclusion to say the more people searching, the more people will buy, and again, the more people that are educated and influenced by the process.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Steve, that manufacturers have restrictions as to who they will sell, what retailers they will sell, and I guess what you need a store and you need to buy displays. Are those basically the only restrictions they have?
It's interesting. You know, at times that can be a moving target. You know, stores, displays, when you satisfy that, then they throw some other roadblock in the road, depending on their you know, distribution strategy. So, you know, the reality is, in the context of a distributed product, manufacturers have a very difficult time deciding who can carry their product and under what rules. There's actually some pretty reasonable restrictions when it comes to how manufacturers can control that process. However, that doesn't mean that manufacturers like Shaw and Mohawk have the same problem, because they don't go through distribution. They control their own destiny. So, you know, the benchmarks and the obstacles change from time to time, but at the end of the day, all manufacturers, all brands, all distributors, all retailers for that matter, you want your business to grow, and you need to address every channel that the consumer chooses to deal with, including, you know, big boxes, e-commerce, what have you.
I see. What products are in the floor covering business are the ones that are the easiest to sell? I don't know if that's a good word, but to sell the most, nonetheless, on the internet. I have to imagine laminate wood, because they come in a box, have to be a whole lot easier, huh?
Well, certainly, I think cartonized products lend themselves to easier shipping system. But you know, we have sold a tremendous amount of roll carpet in our past, and we expect that business will continue to be accessible. And once you solve the logistical problems, it is feasible. It's not that long ago, for example, that you know, major manufacturers said, you know, in 1999 to us, hey, you can't sell a guy in North Carolina this product that you're shipping from, you know, Colorado, or you can't sell the guy in Chicago that you're shipping from California. It's impossible. It doesn't make, you know, sense. It doesn't make economic sense. But, you know, we have figured out how to get that done, and it's just another part of the puzzle to figure out how to do, you know, whether it's carpet roll goods, vinyl roll goods, ceramic tile, whatever.
And people are buying. People are buying carpet, and they're all buying all these other products online.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, this is going to conclude the first part of a four-part series. We're talking about iFloor. My guest is Steve Simonson. He's the president and CEO of Smooth Corporation. That's the parent of iFloor. We're going to air the second part of this conversation tomorrow. This is Floor Radio.